In the early 1900s, a woman by the name of Sarah Breedlove was working as a laundress, washing other people's clothing in a big wooden washtub.
Ooh, check out the stench on these socks. Did their owner dip them in skunk spray? Hey, ew!
But stinky socks were the least of Sarah's problems. As a single mom, she was working crazy hours to support her young daughter. She was totally stressed out, and at the age of 38, she made the alarming discovery that her hair was falling out.
Oh, my. Look at the clumps of my hair in this brush. Oh, it's even more than yesterday.
Now, it turns out Sarah wasn't alone. At the start of the 20th century, many of her fellow African-American women were dealing with hair loss. Indoor plumbing wasn't yet a widespread thing, so they couldn't wash their hair often. And when they did, most hair care products were made for white women and were harsh and drying on black women's hair. Sarah Breedlove was losing hair and losing hope until one night in 1905 when she had a dream. The way she described it, a quote, big black man appeared with the cure to her woes.
Sarah, in order to stop your hair from falling out and to make it grow back all soft, healthy, and strong, you must mix together the following ingredients. First, petrolatum.
That's the thick, greasy, yellow stuff we call petroleum jelly.
The second ingredient is sulfur.
That's the yellow mineral that smells like rotten eggs when you mix it with hydrogen.
The third is beeswax. The fourth is coconut oil. And the fifth is violet extract.
When Sarah Breedlove woke up, she tracked down the ingredients the man had listed, then mixed them on her stove.
Ew-wee. Oh, no wonder the man in my dream recommended violet extract. This sulfur smells like rotten eggs.
And when she rubbed the mysterious concoction into her scalp?
Well, here goes nothing.
It worked like a dream. Before long, her hair was growing back, all soft, healthy, and strong, just like the man had promised. And with that, one of the most extraordinary rags-to-riches stories in United States history was set in motion. A story that would introduce the world to Madam C.J. Walker, the first woman in America to become a millionaire thanks to her own hard work and her belief that there's nothing you can't achieve when you follow your dreams. I'm Rebecca Shear, and this is Who, When, Wow.
Our past is vast and wild. Many things have brought us to this day. As history has been compiled, some important details have slipped away. In our spectacular shared existence, we consider it a business to wreck. A few folks you may not know. Made important inventions. Asked all the right questions. History will never be the same.
The woman who would eventually wow the world as Madam C.J. Walker was born Sarah Breedlove on December 23, 1867, in rural Louisiana. Sarah's parents had been slaves. Now that the Civil War was over, they were free, but they couldn't afford to leave their former master's plantation. So they stayed on, chopping and picking cotton. Sarah and her sister and brothers farmed the fields too. Their parents needed the help.
Sarah, Lavinia, boys!
Give us a hand, won't you?
Plus, it wasn't like the kids could go to school. Schools for African-American children were hard to come by in the rural South, so young Sarah didn't learn to read or write. By the time she was 7, both Sarah's parents had gotten sick and died. She moved to Mississippi with her older sister Lavinia and Lavinia's husband Jesse, who was not a nice guy.
Sarah, by the time I get back from the corner store, I want you to clean the floors and make the beds. and wash the dishes, and cook dinner, and...
Okay, that's enough, Uncle Jesse. We get the idea. So, by the time Sarah was a teenager, she was ready to escape. She married at age 14, had a baby at age 17. And when she was widowed at age 20, she decided to leave the South. Discrimination and violence against African Americans was still rampant in that part of the country, and Sarah wanted more opportunities for her and her child, Lelia. So in 1889, mother and daughter hopped a riverboat north to St. Louis, Missouri. Sarah found a tiny, unheated apartment in a poor part of town. And while Lelia attended an all-black elementary school, Sarah earned $1.50 a day as a washerwoman, doing laundry for well-to-do white people. She worked back-breaking 14-hour shifts 6 days a week. And by the time Lelia graduated from high school, her 36-year-old mother had saved enough money to send her to an all-black college in Tennessee.
I'm so proud of you, baby. The first person in my family to go to university.
I couldn't have done it without you, Mama.
But now that Lelia was flying the coop and moving on to bigger, better things, Sarah wanted bigger, better things too. So she enrolled in night school, where she finally learned how to read and write. She also started paying more attention to influential black leaders like Booker T. Washington, a former slave whose autobiography, Up from Slavery, encouraged African Americans to take charge and improve their lives.
I have begun everything with the idea that I could succeed. And I never had much patience for the multitudes of people who are always ready to explain why one cannot succeed. I have learned that success is not to be measured so much by the position that one has reached in life, as by the obstacles which he has overcome while trying to succeed.
But you may recall that by 1905, one of the obstacles Sarah Breedlove was facing was hair loss. The way Sarah saw it,
hair is power. You can't imagine what it's like to lose it.
And she wasn't being vain when she said that. With the racism and sexism of the early 1900s, it was hard enough being a black woman. But a black woman with bald spots? For Sarah, hair meant confidence and pride after generations of oppression and slavery. So then, she had that fateful dream.
Sarah, in order to stop your hair from falling out, and to make it grow back all soft, healthy, and strong, you must mix together the following ingredients.
And now she knew she could do something to help her fellow black women. Something that would change their lives and change her name.
Hey, grown-ups, it's Guy Raz and Mindy here from Wow in the World with some exciting news for you.
That's right, Guy Raz. We are collaborating with our friends at Wondery for our newest podcast for kids and families called... Reggie, could you give us a record scratch, please?
Once Upon a Beat! Listen as host DJ Fuch and his partner in rhyme, Baby Scratch, remix fables and folktales, rhythm and rhymes, and put spins on classics that are as old as time.
Ooh, that rhymed.
Where hip-hop and fables meet...
It's Once Upon a Beat! Follow Once Upon a Beat on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to episodes early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Wondery Kids Plus in Apple Podcasts.
Welcome back to Who Won Wow. I'm Rebecca Shear.
Who I am.
Today we're talking about pioneering businesswoman, Madam C.J. Walker. Of course, at this point in the story, she is still Sarah Breedlove, and she's on to something big. That hair-growing treatment she created, the one that came to her in a dream, it worked great when she tried it on herself. So she offered to try it on her friends.
My hair is so thin, Sarah.
So brittle.
So frizzy.
I hope this stuff is good.
Well, turns out it was more than good.
My hair is so thick, Sarah.
So healthy.
So smooth.
That's some wonderful hair grower you created.
And thus, Sarah's wonderful hair grower was born. She was 38 now, with less than $2 to her name. But she had something invaluable. Ambition, passion, and a proven formula to grow women's hair and confidence. In 1906, she was living in the gold mining boom town of Denver, Colorado, when she married again, this time to an advertising man named Charles C.J. Walker. With her husband's encouragement, Sarah started focusing on marketing and publicity to spread the word about her wonderful hair grower. First thing she did was pick a new name.
How about Madam C.J. Walker? Has a nice ring to it, don't you think, Charles?
It has a fancy ring to it, darling. High class.
Then she posed for photographs with her luxurious head of hair.
Say, hair follicles.
Hair follicles.
And she plastered those photos on every tin of Madam C.J. Walker's wonderful hair grower. She also developed other products, shampoos, oils, creams, then printed catchy ads for them in local black newspapers.
Is your hair short, breaking off, thin, or falling out?
You wouldn't expect the flowers in your garden to grow fast and bloom profusely if choked by weeds. Thick, healthy hair can grow only on a scalp that is free from dandruff and scalp diseases.
Use Madam Walker's hair preparations. Supreme in quality, fit for a queen.
Madam C.J. Walker visited nearby states, showing off her products in black churches.
Good morning, Oklahoma. I am Madam C.J. Walker.
Social clubs.
Good afternoon, Texas. I am Madam C.J. Walker.
Lodge halls.
Good evening, Mississippi. I am Madam C.J. Walker.
Then she trained the women in the audience to be door-to-door hairdressers and saleswomen. She called them hair culturists and Walker agents.
Ladies, we have been stuck in low-skill, low-paying jobs for far too long.
That's right.
But I, Madam C.J. Walker, am setting out to be the first person ever to employ large numbers of black women in business. If you join my company, ladies, you can be independent.
I love some independent.
Confident. And earn up to $15 a day.
$15?
Which sure beats the heck out of the $1.50 I brought in scrubbing socks.
By December 1907, when Madam C.J. Walker turned 40, she was earning an impressive $3,600 a year. That's more than $100,000 in today's dollars. By 1908, her income nearly doubled. Not only that, but she made a big splash when she built her first brick-and-mortar school near her new home in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Who When Wow News presents The Hallowed Halls of Academia and elegance. Pittsburgh, famous for its steel, is now famous for its style, as Madam C.J. Walker opens the Lelia College of Beauty Culture. Thousands of African-American women will train to become hair culturists and Walker agents. And as Madam C.J. Walker herself says, prospective students needn't worry about money.
Can't afford the $25 tuition? I'll give you a scholarship.
Or location.
Live too far away to take classes in person? I'll offer a correspondence course.
In other words, a class by mail, which is basically the early 20th century equivalent of a Zoom or Skype class today. With this newest achievement, you could say that Madam C.J. Walker is in a league of her own.
No, you can't. That pun is terrible.
It's hair finest hour.
Ooh, that one's even worse.
Suffice it to say, we can hardly wait to see what's next for Madam C.J. Walker.
Are you kidding me? I am out of here.
You mean out of hair?
Okay, that's enough. How do you turn this thing off? Is it this button right here?
Madam C.J. Walker's next move was to the railroad hub of Indianapolis, Indiana, where she built her first factory. Now she could mass produce her products and ship them all across the country. She gave her company the official name Madam C.J. Walker Manufacturing Company. And by 1910, the 44-year-old dynamo was running one of the most profitable black-owned companies in the country. country, bringing in a substantial $1,000 a month. But Madam C.J. Walker had her share of detractors, including religious leaders in the African American community.
It is natural for a black woman's hair to be kinky and curly.
But Madam C.J. Walker's products make their hair smoother and straighter.
They are going against what God intended.
To which Madam C.J. Walker replied,
"Let me correct the erroneous impression held by some that I claim to straighten hair. I deplore such an impression because I have always held myself out as a hair culturist. I grow hair. I have absolute faith in my mission. I want my people to take a greater pride in their appearance and to give their hair proper attention."
Another of Madam C.J. Walker's naysayers was none other than influential black leader Booker T. Washington. As head of the National Negro Business League, Washington was skeptical of Madam C.J. Walker's growing empire. So skeptical, he turned down her request to be a speaker at the League's annual meeting in 1912. But Madam C.J. Walker would not take that decision lying down.
"These men were prone to look down on hairdressers, as they called us. So I had to go down and dignify this work."
In a convention hall in Chicago, Illinois, in front of 2,000 attendees, Washington was giving a speech about the role black-owned banks should play in their community's economic development.
"And so, when it comes to the role black-owned businesses should play in their community's economic development, it is my wholehearted belief
surely
that..."
"Surely you're not going to shut the door in my face."
2,000 pairs of eyes swiveled toward the proud woman who had shot up from her seat with an elegant feathered hat perched atop her luxurious head of hair.
"I am a woman who started in business 7 years ago with only $1.50. I went into a business that is despised, that is criticized and talked about by everybody. The business of growing hair. They did not believe such a thing could be done, but I have proven beyond the question of a doubt that I do grow hair. I am not ashamed of my past. I am not ashamed of my humble beginning. Don't think because you have to go down in the washtub that you are any less a lady. Everybody told me I was making a mistake going into this business. But I know how to grow hair as well as I know how to grow cotton."
Those were Madam C.J. Walker's actual words. Isn't that awesome? Booker T. Washington sure thought so. The next year, he didn't just invite her to speak at the League's convention. He introduced her as...
"One of the most successful businesswomen of our race."
But it wasn't just Madam C.J. Walker's wealth that made her successful. I mean, sure, by 1918, her company was raking in $500,000 a year. She was employing 25,000 hair culturists and agents across the United States, Central America, and the Caribbean. And she owned multiple houses across the country, including a lavish 34-room mansion north of New York City. But much of Madam C.J. Walker's success came from the way she shared her wealth with her community. She became a philanthropist, giving money to black schools, churches, orphanages, retirement homes. Her $5,000 donation to the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, or NAACP, was the largest donation the organization had ever seen. And in May 1919, as she lay in bed in her mansion, dying of kidney failure and high blood pressure at the tragically early age of 51, she was quoted as saying,
"My desire now is to do more than ever for my race."
And she did. She called her lawyer over and set aside $100,000 to black charities and organizations in her will. But she couldn't have done it without a lifetime of faith, persistence, creativity, and believing in her dreams. In the words of this self-made American legend,
"I had to make my own living and my own opportunity, but I made it. Don't sit down and wait for the opportunities to come. Get up and make them."
Hey,
Hey, Prime members! You can listen to Who When Wow Mystery Edition early and ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with the Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts or Wondery Plus in the Wondery app. And grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Who When Wow is an original Tinkercast production. Our show is written by me, Rebecca Shear. Eric Shimalonis is the mastermind behind our original music and sound design. Meredith Halpern-Ranzer, Mindy Thomas, and Guy Raz serve as our show's executive producers, with additional production assistance from Henry Moskal. Our Who When Wow theme song was composed and performed by The Pop-Ups. For more on their 3-time Grammy-nominated all-ages music, find them at thepopups.com. Special thanks to this week's actors: Evan Casey, Brandon Green, Kitty Kaboom, Erica Rose, Mike Smith, Marion N. Toro, Chris Trovador, Dawn Ursula, and Charlie Wess. Want to keep the Who When Wow experience going all week long? Grown-ups, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Our handle is @WhoWenWowPod. Visit WhoWenWow.com for free activities and resources that extend the wow after each episode. We couldn't put the wow in Who When Wow without you, so thanks for listening. Now get out there and make a difference in your world. You could be the next who to wow the future.
Who When Wow was made by Tinkercast and sent to you by Wondery.